On today's episode of the podcast, I answer a question for a segment of Ask Rachel. And this question is a really big one. It's all about body image and self-esteem. How can we feel that we are enough the way we are in our bodies, in our appearance, in our hearts, and in our souls, especially during an age where social media and the internet and technology is such a big part of our lives and influences us, not just once in a while, but every moment of every day. I share a lot about my own insecurities and things I've struggled with my whole life and my best pieces of advice for how to move through that and arrive at a place of feeling good in our skin the way we are. Sometimes in life, skepticism can serve you well. It can save you money, keep you from wasting a day at a timeshare presentation, and help you avoid spreading gossip. To be honest, when I'm faced with a new scenario, I usually tend to be a skeptic until something proves me wrong. And if you're like me, you can probably spot a too-good-to-be-true health hack from a mile away and read labels like it's your job. That's where Ritual comes in. They know that every good skeptic deserves a multivitamin that exceeds your standards. Their clinically backed Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin has high quality, traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. Take 2 delayed release capsules per day that optimize your body's absorption, and you'll get 9 key nutrients. Ritual's Essential for Women is USP verified, so you know you can trust what you're putting in your body. Only about 1% of supplement brands on the market have the USP verified mark, which shows the product contains the ingredients actually listed on the label. On top of that, Ritual multivitamins are vegan, non-GMO project verified, gluten and major allergen free, certified B Corp, and made traceable. I take my vitamins every morning with breakfast. It's part of my daily ritual, and I feel so good doing it. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/yogagirl. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/yogagirl for 25% off. Let's jump in. Hello, 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 my friends, how are you? Welcome back to the show. I hope you are doing well. I'm sitting here very pregnant still in this moment of recording anyway, still very, very pregnant. And I'm going to answer another question from you, or maybe a couple of questions. And why are we doing another little segment here of Ask Rachel? I'm really recording this episode right here as a big, big exclamation of self-care. I so want to give myself some grace for my postpartum time, some ease, some softness. And I know the moment I have this baby, I'm going to feel this big longing and yearning to immediately come to the podcast and tell you all about it. And I probably will, you know, fairly shortly after, as soon as I feel ready to share. But I really wanted to have at least, you know, a week or two of episodes here on the show that I have pre-recorded so that if the feeling I have in my being is I want to just be in stillness and not have anything on any to-do list aside from be with my newborn, then I've made that happen for myself. So for me, recording this podcast really is, it's a self-care practice, and I'm so excited because I know you completely get it and would probably do the same, right, if you were where I am. So I have yet, of course, another list of beautiful questions from you. And we'll see if this becomes one of those episodes where I answer one question and just sets the tone and the topic for the whole podcast. Or if I answer a bunch of them. But as usual, I have not heard these questions before. And if you want, you can take a moment with me here now just to close your eyes and ground into your body a little bit. Get very, very present. And let's tune in.
Hi, Rachel. This is also Rachel. I'm calling in from Colorado. I love you so much. And I would love your advice with something that I am struggling with. And I know, I think I remember you sharing several podcasts about body image and self-esteem, not feeling like you're enough from a physical standpoint, all the pressures from social media. I am 24 years old and I grew up, a lot of my teenage life was on social media. So I would just love to know how you navigate body image issues or anything related to that. And I love you so much. Thank you.
Oh, hi, Rachel. Hi, hi, hi. I feel moved by this question in so many different ways all at the same time. First of all, you're 24. I'm 34. I feel like I spent a lot of my life, or I have spent a lot of my life immersed in social media. I was one of the last people in my friend group to get a smartphone. This was like back in 2012, I think. And I'd had friends that had them for years, and they had apps, and I didn't even know what an app was. I kind of resisted that for a little while, and then got my first smartphone, got on Instagram, and boom, that was the beginning of something, and I'm still in it, right? And sometimes I look back and I can get a little bit of anxiety just feeling how technological our lives have become, how much I depend on this device, how much I depend on this screen, how hard it is to put it away. I feel anxious sometimes thinking about my daughter and what her future is going to be in terms of technology, and yeah, how much we rely on it and are completely immersed on it, in it, in every area of our lives. But then I compare, my growing into this with my siblings. I have siblings your age. So I have two sisters that are 22, and I have a brother that's 25 and a sister that's 26. And especially the 22-year-olds, particularly like that generation, they and really the most formative years, when we are kind of that preteen, the most sensitive, most vulnerable time, like that was when most of that generation got smartphones and social media. And at least I feel like I got to have my teenage years protected from that in a certain way. And I can see a difference, having grown up into that era where every single thing happens on social media and everything is shared on social media, and how sensitive that is, and how so much of our view of the world, and of course our view of ourselves, is shaped by what we happen to come across on those devices. And I think in terms of body image, particularly as a young woman, every generation is a little bit fucked in different ways. I think we have to go really far back in history to get to a time where there wasn't massive societal pressure on women to look a certain way. And we all know how those trends change, right? And how the idea of the perfect body, it changes every couple of years. When I was a teenager, you were supposed to have a really tiny butt. The smaller the butt, the better. And then now, where I feel like, just a couple of years ago, it was the opposite. The bigger the butt, the better. And we know these trends are always going to change. And it's just so exhausting trying to keep up, since we are just born in the body that we're born with. And I was going to say, and we can't change that. Well, kind of unfortunately, like we can now. We can do a lot to force ourselves to be as far away from our natural body type as possible. We can starve ourselves. We can slave away at the gym. We can have surgeries. We can have cosmetic procedures. There's lots of things now that are available to really, really young people. And when I was little, I remember getting most of those images. It was mainly magazines for me. I really loved those like girly young women's magazines and fashion magazines and things like that, like when I was a young teenager. And then, of course, TV. But the way TV was then, I remember watching Friends on TV, and it was every Wednesday at 7 p.m. on Channel 5 in Sweden. And it was just one episode once a week, right? And there was those three girls, you know, Phoebe and Monica and Rachel and Friends. They were always so incredibly skinny. And I saw them, and I remember feeling like, especially Jennifer Aniston, I thought she was the most beautiful woman ever. And I remember thinking a lot, like, I wish my body looked like hers. But it was 30 minutes, right? How long is that show? It's like 30 minutes once a week. And then there was another show, and there was something else, but it was a different thing entirely, like walking by a billboard on a bus or walking by a billboard in the subway station or opening a magazine that you then close and put away, watching a show. We didn't have that opportunity, endlessly binging, that when one ends, the next one just starts. Like, we didn't have that. So I think the exposure that my generation has had to the very toxic, like, you know, early 2000s body standard, which was very, 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 I mean, horribly toxic, at least it was limited. At least it wasn't in my face all day, because I could close that fashion magazine and go about my life, right? Whereas now, I feel like especially teenagers and young 20-year-olds, it doesn't stop, right? You don't get to just put your phone away and go about your life. Like, your phone is there all the time, every moment of the day, all day long. We get all of our information, all of our interaction, everything happens. And it's right at the tip of our fingers at all times. And there's something about that that I find so absolutely terrifying. Really, really, really terrifying. Really, really, really scary. And I can see how easy it is to have your entire view of the world and your entire view of yourself and your beauty and your body and who you are be completely controlled by what you encounter on this device. Do scents evoke memories and transport you back to being on the beach during your favorite vacation? I know they do for me. Osea's Andaria Algae Body Oil smells like summer or the beach in Aruba, bottled with all natural, uplifting notes of mango, mandarin, grapefruit, lime, and cypress. But it's not just about the elevated scent. This body oil is clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity and deeply moisturize, leaving skin silky and soft. It delivers that coveted post-vacation glow, like you just returned from a tropical getaway. And right now, you can get 10% off your first order with our code YOGA at oseamalibu.com. I love Osea's Andaria Algae Body Oil. I use it every single day, and I have for so many years. It makes me feel silky smooth and just glowing. This body oil is rich but never greasy and clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity. It visibly firms your skin, leaving you more sculpted and toned. No wonder I feel so great after using it. But it gets even better. With Osea, you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Osea's products are clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified. They are a women-founded company that has been making seaweed-infused skincare for over 28 years. So bring on summer. Get healthy, glowing skin for summer with clean vegan skin and body care at Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code YOGA at oseamalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to oseamalibu.com and use the code YOGA for 10% off. So I'm saying all of this just to kind of paint that picture of it's you're in a really tough place, like deeply, deeply tough place. And I see that with my siblings to a point of, yeah, they have a different relationship to their phone than I do. The phone is almost like, I don't know how to even articulate it. For me, the moments in my day where it's natural to put the phone away, it's just not there in the same way. It's like really like the phone is like a third hand and it's always there and it's always up. And whenever there's a gap or a moment of boredom or a little bit of space or walking from the house to the car or like all those little moments of just like normal life, like the phone is up, right, all the time. So it's increasingly challenging, I think, to really do something about the anxiety that comes along with the societal pressure of you're supposed to look a different way when you are exposing yourself to that 24/7 all day long. So the first thing that I would do, really, truly, of course, this work is inner work, it's spiritual work, it's emotional work, it's trauma work, doing work around our body image and self-acceptance and confidence. I mean, it's huge healing work that we do on the inside. But if we're going to continue exposing ourselves to the same toxic stuff, it's not really going to make a big dent, right? So I would lead with that, like absolutely lead with that. Just evaluating, what is my relationship with my phone? What is my relationship with social media? What am I actually watching? If I'm on TikTok all day or I'm on Instagram all day or wherever I am, what am I actually ingesting? What am I actually putting into my energetic space? And in a big way, like I'm putting that into my body. And if it's endless, endless, endless videos and images of people who look an unrealistic way or who, you know, kind of align with that really unrealistic, not very kind and soft and gentle version of what it's like to be a human being in this world, if it's stuff that doesn't fill me up, that doesn't make me grow, that doesn't make me feel steadier in who I am, it has to be my responsibility to cut that off. No one else is going to do it for you. Society is not going to change. What you see on your screen is not going to change. You know, it has to be you. And I'm sharing this now as I'm, you know, a million weeks pregnant. I have no idea how much weight I've gained, but nothing fits me. And I have, as an example, I have one of my best friends. When she's pregnant, she just carries on wearing her clothes. Super annoying. But really, she gave me some of her like maternity jeans, and she wore them all the way through pregnancy. I couldn't even get them over my thighs like halfway through. And I've had a lot of those moments throughout pregnancy where I just feel like an opportunity here to be really triggered, an opportunity here to get like nervous about how much weight I'm gaining or how big I feel or and then had to consciously redirect and just put on something comfortable. So I'm also in this altered state where I'm not speaking from my regular place, right? Because pregnancy it's this high of feeling, at least for me, feeling like I'm a goddess all the time. And then I get into a hole and I feel like a whale and it's the worst thing ever. And then I go back and I feel like Mother Earth. And then I sway into this like, oh my God, nothing fits me. And then, you know, kind of oscillating in between. But in my regular life, I struggle too. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I mean, who does not struggle? I feel like even the people who seem very, very grounded and down to earth and sensible around things like weight and beauty and body image, like even those people struggle. Like we are living in a severely fucked up society. And at least for me, the thing that actually helps the absolute most is for me to stay away from my phone. And that goes for this 34-year-old, you know, I'm 10 years older than you. I feel like I've done so much work in this area. I feel most of the time very comfortable in my own skin, not all the time. And when I have cycles and seasons where I am scrolling on social media, I'm looking at other people's lives, I am just taking in the voices of the outside world, I almost immediately go down a track where I feel lesser than. I do. And because what we're seeing, we're not generally seeing people's real lives. We're seeing that little highlight reel of their lives. Even the body positive influencers. Like I used to follow a bunch of them before. They started making me feel bad too. I saw a video just came up in my feed about something called hip dips, which was truly a term I didn't know. I'd never heard the term hip dips. And if you don't know what that is either, it's apparently when your outer hip doesn't go outward, like in that kind of traditionally feminine, you know, hourglass shape, but you have like a little inward dip in the outer hip. Yeah, I mean, I guess this is a very normal term. I don't know. But she was putting up this whole video about hip dips are good, like be proud of your hip dips. You should be brave and like wear your bikini as you are. Don't cover up. And I was like, wait, am I supposed to feel like I'm supposed to be ashamed? And I know that wasn't the intention of the video. She just wants to like, you know, make people feel more confident about their flaws. But even introducing that as a flaw or as something that isn't accepted, which for me in my world, I didn't know that. And I was like, oh, should I be like, I have those hip dips. Should I hate them? Is there something wrong? Like, are other people looking at my hips thinking that that's bad? And I just never knew. Oh my God. You know, it's like, you see, like all of these things, the obsession with what we look like, the obsession with the body, with the outward external appearance of the body. It's just, it's really too much. And I think it's harmful in every direction. So when I put my phone away and I'm not scrolling and I use my phone in purposeful, conscious ways, I feel better about myself in every way. And it's kind of interesting how that goes because we have so much FOMO. We feel like we're gonna miss out. We have to be online all the time. But the less online we are, the better we feel. And then a couple days pass and we realize like, hey, life's pretty good. I'm kind of beautiful. Like I actually feel kind of good in my skin. At least that's the realization that I have all the time, that it's the input from that mass consciousness of not enough, not enough, not enough, change, do something different, do something better, improve, lose weight, do this. Like that mass energy actually goes into my brain and taps me into that frequency where those are the thoughts that I start to think about myself. But when I'm in the moment, truly just in my body, not connected to that mass energy of generations of conditioning and fear and craziness, when I'm not tapped into that, I actually kind of like myself a lot. So I think the external, like the input that we take from the rest of the world is huge here. And I'm always doing work in that area, and I think I would really recommend that you do too. See if there are some boundaries you can set for yourself or scale some things away. And then I think rather than when I get into one of those kind of funks and all of a sudden I start picking myself apart, and sometimes that just happens. I was just in a low place. Sometimes there's something specific that triggers me. I have family members with eating disorders that talk in a very particular way about weight and appearance, and they can trigger me just from how they speak and how they kind of talk about other people. And you know, something can happen or it's nothing. And I just get into this funk, and all of a sudden I look at myself and I'm like, oh, I have so many gray hairs. I really should just tone my hair. I can find like an organic one. I don't have to do the whole toxic thing, but I could do something about all the grays and whites because they're kind of everywhere now. And the wrinkles. I mean, I have new wrinkles every week. I really feel maybe there's some like new creams or something I could buy. Maybe I shouldn't. And sometimes I think maybe I shouldn't go for the organic, all natural stuff. Like maybe I should do some hardcore stuff just for the wrinkles and the anti-aging thing. And then, you know, I have these sunspots on my face. Like, should I laser them? I hear you can do something about that. And, you know, and then I go to my body and I feel just like flabby and out of shape. And, you know, it's just, I start in one place and then my whole, I can just pick every single part of myself completely apart. And 10 minutes later, I can go through that whole conversation with myself of just being so hateful and negative and harmful toward myself. And then say 10 minutes later, I do something that puts me into my body. And that can be something as simple as like, I have a good cry. Like that's something that instantly just brings me here. I go for a cold plunge in the lake, like brings me right back. In a non-pregnant state, like I go for a run, I roll out my yoga mat and I really, really move in a really intentional way. Leia comes home from school. Sometimes it's something like that. Like she comes home from school and she just runs from the car into the house and she can't contain herself. She's so happy to see me and she gives me the biggest hug and I'm just like right there, you know? Little things, some non-intentional, some very intentional. And the next time I pass by a mirror, I'm like, damn, like I'm really cute, you know? And all of a sudden I feel really feminine in my gray hair. And I feel really good about just letting myself be the way I am. I don't notice those wrinkles in that way. You know, the sunspots are actually really like the freckles. I actually really like them. I don't want to cover them up. And I just look at my body and it's like a really great body. So it's so important that we catch ourselves in how our mind will flow from that worst case, horrible, I'm like a swamp monster, to damn, I'm great. Or even like, I'm good enough, you know, that kind of solid in between place of just, I'm fine. How quickly that happens. And it's proof that it's not about the external. You know, if you feel really horrible about yourself in the morning or after you eat a pint of ice cream on the couch in the evening, and then the next day you go work out and after your workout you feel awesome and you think you look awesome, it's like nothing happened to your body in that time. Like the 12 hours that passed, you didn't magically change into a, you know, crazy unicorn and now everything's different. You look the same. People who see you when you walk down the street, you're the same person, same body shapes. You're the same. The insides changed, right? It's your thought process about who you are and what you're worth and how much you like yourself and how present you are in your own body. That is the shift. And I think we are so caught up in confused and thinking that it is the external change that's going to validate us, that's going to make us feel good. So if I lose that weight, if I cover up those gray hairs, if I fix my face, if I do blah, 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 then everything will be great and I'll feel so confident and perfect. And no, you know, and yeah, we can make it some external changes and feel fleetingly different, of course, but that deep, like integral sense of contentment in who we are, it happens from the inner shift, not from the outer shift. So instead of when we feel terrible, obsessing about, okay, I need to work out more or eat less or do so-and-so, to immediately learn to shift tracks and realize, okay, this is not about that. This is about my inner workings right now. This is about something stressing me out. This is about a sense of pressure. This is about an old wound. What do I need to come back home to myself? What can I do right now? What can I offer myself to actually feel more at home? And it's not going to be that external thing. It's going to be that internal thing, right? So if we go for that every time, I feel like we can actually change how those tracks inside of our minds work. I feel like it works. I mean, I'm practicing it all the time. I'm having a lot of moments now in this pregnancy where I just stop giving a fuck. You know? I literally wear a muumuu every day. I stop wearing underwear because they don't fit. Even my biggest pregnancy underwear don't fit and it's so uncomfortable and I refuse to have anything cutting into my body anywhere. So I just put on like my daily muumuu and I just let it all hang. And I just like flow. And I tried putting on makeup. I feel worse. I actually feel much better when I'm just letting myself be natural, letting myself be. But I also know that I'm in this tricky place right now of pregnancy where as women, we're kind of celebrated for being pregnant. All of a sudden, those bellies that we are
told our whole entire lives are too flabby, too big, too fat, need to be toned, need to be tight, need to be thin, all of a sudden we're celebrated and everyone is loving the belly and the belly is so beautiful and the belly is so purposeful and wow. And then I know I'm going to get into postpartum time and I'm going to be in a really tricky place. Because all of a sudden it's like, people are not, society, they don't like that part so much. You know, that part is not very attractive. So how long does it take you to bounce back, right? Like, are you like working on your, you know, getting back to where you were and getting back into shape and back and back? And I know it's easier to feel confident at 9 months pregnant than it is to feel confident at 9 days, 9 weeks, 9 months postpartum. So I'm also I'm trying to not trick myself into like, oh, I have arrived at this perfect place of peace and body image, because it's like, yeah, everyone that tells a pregnant woman they're beautiful. We've been told that our whole lives. No one tells a postpartum person that they're beautiful, that the tummy and the pouch and the space that's left behind and the softness, that's precious. Like, we don't hear that, but it is.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This actually reminds me, I told this story once. It was a very long time ago. I did a cover shoot for a very big, I think the biggest, like, women's fitness, you know, magazine in the US. And it was me and like a couple of other influencer people, like in the wellness industry. And we did a group cover for this really huge, massive magazine. And it was a group cover. And then we all had an individualized cover that we did. And it was one of those things that came my way. I think I was 6 months postpartum or something. And it was, for 2 months after. Yeah, it had a little bit of time to like decide, or maybe I was 7 months postpartum and it was like the next month. But basically when I was 8 months postpartum, you know, fully breastfeeding Leia, like in a really, it's like a really intense time. For me, that exact time was just really, really, really hard. And it came this offer to be on the cover of this massive magazine. And how could I turn that down, you know? And I knew I didn't want to go. I knew I didn't want to leave her. I knew I couldn't take an 8-month-old for a 24-hour trip to LA from Aruba, which is like a 20-hour or like 16-hour crazy journey. So I just knew I'm not going to do that to her. So I'm just going to go really quick, do this shoot, and then come back. And I wasn't my fittest self, right? I was 8 months postpartum, but I was 8 months like very chill postpartum. I had not been working out. I had not been kind of pressuring myself or pushing myself. And I was really navigating this new body that I had. And I had really good days and then really, really bad days where I felt terrible. And there I was. And it was me and these fitness influencers that all had like a 6-pack abs. Where they were just really, 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 really skinny. And I get there and I have never felt more horrible about myself in my entire life. I hadn't. I felt so out of place. And I just remember the whole memory I have of that shoot. It was like it was so cold. There was not even a moment at the beginning of the shoot. Imagine they had like 5 women doing this big, important cover shoot together. No one introduced us. Like, there was no moment where a person on set brought us all together and like, hey, you know, we've chosen you guys to do this amazing cover and, you know, meet each other and like a moment of connection. There was none. Like, no one actually got to like properly like get to know each other or meet each other. And then we were just in hair and makeup and wardrobe. And I just remembered the clothes they brought me, they were all too small.
And I was there trying to kind of feeling like I had to explain, like I just had a baby, but I didn't just had a baby. It wasn't like I had a baby 2 months ago. It's like I had a baby 8 months ago. I should be fitter by now, right? Especially for like a wellness influencer person. Oh, there's a boat going by in case you can hear that sound in the background. And the clothes they brought, they weren't good. So I remember this feeling of just standing in that changing room, having my whole hair and my whole face done, boobs aching and leaking and missing my baby and jet lagged and just being in a place where I felt really not accepted and really judged and just like a place I didn't want to be. And the clothes they brought me just didn't work. And I just remember feeling so much shame, like I should just sink through the floor and die. Like it was so shameful. And finally they came back and they brought me some other options. And I just knew I didn't want to be in like a sports bra and a low cut yoga pant. Like that's all. I did not feel comfortable doing that. And finally they found something that worked, but I could kind of tell they didn't love it. It wasn't what they had in mind. I was not what they had in mind. I was supposed to be a yoga girl, you know, this super skinny, fit, flexible, handstanding person, right? And then here I was, and I was not quite that, right? And we go to do the shoot. Group shots were fine because we were active and doing things, and it was like kind of more like in motion. And then when I did my like solo cover, I just remember feeling like I don't think they want me here. And no one actually said that. It's just like a really intense feeling that I had. I don't think they want me here. And did some shots, did some shoots, and then did the shoot, got some shots. The photographer was very nice, and he kept like bringing me to look like, do you like this? Is this okay? And then, okay, let's do some more. Like it felt like he wanted me to feel good about what they were capturing. And after a while, I started relaxing a little bit and I started kind of warming up, and he made me feel more comfortable. And then so I went back to look at the screen and I'm like, hey, it's good, actually. Actually, I'm not a swamp monster. And when I look back at that now, I was totally fine. Like there was nothing wrong with me at all. The vision I had in my head was really like the worst thing I could imagine. And I look at that now and I'm like, dude, I was so beautiful, right? I was 8 months postpartum. I was so beautiful. I really did. I was one of those people, I think, objectively, that kind of went back, you know, just not in the way I wanted it in my head. And so at the end of the shoot, I felt kind of like, okay, well, we got some good things. And at least they were able to like cover up my not great areas. And the guy, the photographer, said, like, we got some really good shots. They're really going to like this. Like, thank you. And he asked me about my baby. And it just made me feel like seen, you know, in the very end. So I left that shoot not feeling as horrible as I did when I came in. And then guess what? The magazine, the cover comes out. And every single one of these influencers, like, have the same kind of cover. And it's literally, you know, like a fitness magazine where it's like, it's always a woman, full body, always showing a lot of skin. Like she's in a bathing suit or she's in a sports top and a short or something in like a power pose or a pose that shows off the definition of the muscles. And, you know, it's like a full body thing. And all of them, like all four, have the same kind of cover. And my cover, they did almost only my face. So they cropped my body out. Like I'm saying, telling this story now, I feel almost disbelief, like I'm making it up. I did not make this up, okay? They, I think I got, my boobs are in there. It's like a very zoomed in, cropped in photo of mainly my face and my chest, but then right ass, like belly kind of waist area begins. Like it's, yeah, that's it. It's over. And it just felt like such a slap in the face. Like it just really solidified it for me that this was really real, really true. It wasn't just in my head. They actually had editors and people at that magazine, and they decided, this girl is not fit enough to be on the cover of this magazine. This girl is too fat, too flabby, too soft, too postpartum.
but they couldn't go back. They couldn't kick me out of the group, right? Because I was already on the group cover and everything. So they just chose a really zoomed in version of me where you don't have to look at that body. And I mean, it's like thinking of this now, like I could get a little weepy about it because it's such a, I don't think there's any single one mean person at that magazine that made a decision to be harmful or hurtful or anything, but that's the culture. That's the culture we live in. That's the society that we live in. And now there is like some, there's exceptions to that rule now where they intentionally take bigger people, putting them on the covers of magazines to ride the body positivity wave, right? To show that we're inclusive and everyone's allowed. And this was like before that, this was like, and I'm not saying that I'm an overweight or fat person or anything like that. And fat is not a bad word. I'm just saying I didn't fit in with the standard of what they wanted there. And they made it so obvious and so clear. And at the time, I just remember feeling so much shame. I couldn't talk about it with anybody. I think I told Dennis, I told him about the experience, of course. Like I felt horrible and I never felt so ugly. I never felt so like I didn't fit in. It really was not a good thing. But I didn't tell him the ins and outs of like, I actually felt like deep shame that I wasn't good enough because my body is different now. And talking about this even shakes me a little bit, to be honest, because it's such a, black and white kind of, this is what it is. This is the world that we live in. And I am not in any way a marginalized person. I can go into any store and find clothes that fit me. And there's people in this world, so many, who don't have that privilege. And the whole entire fashion world and beauty world and what the standard is, it's not what people actually look like. It's not what the majority of people who buy the clothes, who buy the makeup, it's not what people are. We're not the size zero, size two, whatever, super fit, crazy. Like that's not what the majority of us are. But we're being sold this great big fat lie that it's what we're supposed to be. And if we are that, then people will love us and we'll be accepted and we'll fit in. And maybe if we just spend more money on that thing, or we buy those clothes, or we take that exercise class, or we get that treatment, or we go through that surgery or that diet, or, we're always just like one little fix away from feeling like we belong. But it's not true. It's not true. We can fix and fix and change and change. And no, it's not going to magically one day just happen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So I love how this became a whole episode. So it's our responsibility to heal this for ourselves. Yes, the world is fucked and we can blame the world and, which is true and we should. It's not our fault that this is the way things are, but it is what it is. And we can choose to continue engaging in that and live our lives kind of enslaved to that. Or we can choose to step out and step away. And I think that process of stepping away from those standards, stepping away from that culture, it's okay to step out and step back in, and then step out and step back in and kind of flow back and forth. And I think that's how I'm doing it now in most of my days, where I know I feel best, pregnant or not pregnant, I feel best wearing no makeup with my hands in the soil, working outside, moving my body purposefully, being in my body, doing the things that put me into a present place where I am embodied. Like that's where I feel the best. And it's also when I feel most beautiful. And then I flow back into something else, or I get invited to like a party, or I gotta go be in the real world, right? And look human, look like an adult. And I start the fixing and I kind of, you know, do the thing and I put some makeup and then I pick myself apart again. And that's okay. That's okay. It's a lot of conditioning to undo. It's not going to happen overnight. And my guess is that as women, we're going to be doing this for the rest of our lives. Yeah, I just want to, the older I get, spend less and less and less time judging and thinking about my body and my appearance, and more time just living life with this body as a vessel to feel and experience and be here in this beautiful fucking world. Like, how many amazing moments have we had ruined for ourselves by feeling self-conscious, by feeling not confident, by feeling insecure, by, I can't even count the amount of times that I, you know, didn't enjoy like time spent on a beach because I felt really fat. Times where I, you know, chose not to go for a swim with friends because I didn't shave my legs. I mean, so many big moments that were just, and then I look back at them and objectively, I was so beautiful and perfect and there was not a single thing wrong with me. And I kind of have that feeling that 10 years from now or 5 years from now, I'm going to look back at myself now and go, wow, I was so beautiful then. Why didn't I appreciate that? And we never do. We appreciate it later. We see, oh, we were so beautiful then. And I think that's the thing. Like, we see ourselves through that lens of looking at ourselves from a place of essence and core and truth. And we're always beautiful. Always, always the way we are. And I don't want to be that 90-year-old woman concerned with her weight and her appearance. I mean, it's just a waste of a life. And I really hope we can kind of, yeah, start that shift now, start that change now and not have to wait. And also knowing that the changes that we make in how we think and how we act and what we engage with, what we allow, it also changes things for people around us. And if we're parents, you know, this is crucial. How I talk about myself is how Leia will think about herself. I know that. And I hear a lot of my mother's voice in the back of my head about being too big or being too fat or being not fit or being not good enough, because it's what I heard her say all the time. And not from spite or malice, but because those were the voices in her head. And that's what her mom was thinking about. I mean, oh, we can go back and back and back. And yeah, and it's worse now and it's harder for us because of the devices that we're on all day and because we never get a break. So we have to make those breaks for ourselves. We have to carve that space out for ourselves. And for me, the fear that Leia one day is going to look at herself in the mirror and think something not great about her body. You know, we haven't arrived at that place yet, or the idea of big or small or fat or skinny, or like she's never heard those words, those conversations spoken. And there's a limit to how long I can protect her from that. I mean, really. But I know it doesn't matter how much, it doesn't matter like what I say and how much I tell her she's beautiful and it's about how she feels and we're all good enough the way we are. And if I spend a lot of time scrutinizing myself and judging myself, even quietly, like that's the energy that she's going to be absorbing. I can't just hate myself a little bit sometimes and then think that she's going to grow up, you know, in a place of complete self-love and feeling like being a woman and being a mother is loving yourself and I'm just quietly hating my body. Like that's gonna not affect her. No. And sometimes going that route where I look at from the lens of parenting and from how I want her to feel about herself. It makes it easier to make those decisions for myself that fuck no, no, I'm never going on a diet, not in my entire life. I will never move my body as punishment. I'm never going to go down this path of not good enough, so fix something. No. And if I'm going to ever change anything, it's from a place of what brings me more joy, what makes me feel good. Like that's the central piece of this. What makes me feel really, really good. And that for you could be, it makes me feel really good to work out every day. Then fuck yeah, work out every day. It makes me feel really good to eat this certain way. Then you eat that certain way. For me, it makes me feel really good to not think of that stuff. You know, to have the ice cream. to not have any pressure around how much I move my body or how I do it. I'm talking now non-pregnancy times because as we speak, I cannot even... I drop something on the floor, someone else has to pick it up for me. So, but you know what I'm talking about, right? Like for me, success in this area is not thinking about it, is having it not dictate my life. And I feel like I'm really on a soapbox here, but this is a huge deal, big deal, and it affects our lives in every single way. Every single way. I remember... this like hurts me to share. On my wedding day, and I look at the pictures of myself on our wedding day, and it's I don't look like a goddess. Like I am a goddess. It is the photos, like how I shine, how happy I am. There's a glow in every single photo of me from when the day I married Dennis. It's just like I genuinely am so beautiful. And that morning, I had like a bad moment where all of a sudden I felt super fat. I felt like my arms were really flabby. I decided like the dress doesn't look good on me anymore. I should put on like a cover. So I had, it was like a little jacket, or like a little sweater jacket thing that really was not fitting with the dress. It was just something that I had in case it would get cold, I think, which June in Sweden could be. We actually had like a little bit of rain that day. It was like, it's not like a sunny summer super day. And I remember like having my, this beautiful, very natural makeup done. Like my hair, I had a tiara and flowers in my hair. I had this gorgeous dress. I mean, I felt, I was so beautiful. And I was like, I think I'm going to cover up with this ugly jacket. And all my friends and all my bridesmaids were like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I think I want to wear this thing. And they're like, no. Why would you do that? And I had lied. And I was like, well, it's a little chilly. Don't you think it's better? And they all looked at me like I was just the most insane person alive. And I think one of them was like, hell no, take that off. I was like, okay, fine. It's fine. I'll be good like this. But I had that, you know, and then I was like nervous at what would that look like? And what if I didn't feel good? What if I wasn't skinny enough? And I look at those pictures and I'm such a skinny little asshole. Okay. 25 years old, you know, and I look at, I there's nothing wrong with me in any way. And I, as I said before, like at 35, I'm going to look back. I mean, at 35, I'm looking back, or 34, I'm looking back and I see that. When I get to 45, I'm going to look back at myself, probably postpartum, and I'm going to go, wow, you know, what glorious beauty. How could I waste time not loving myself? How could I waste a single second thinking about bullshit, unnecessary waste of time stuff like that? Like, how could I waste that time and that energy not feeling good enough? And then I'm going to be 55 and I'm going to look back at myself at 45. So it's like, let's feel good now. Let's look at ourselves like that now. Let's change that voice in the back of our heads now. Yeah, the time really, really is now. And I think we do have the power to make a change. So hopefully, maybe future generations, it doesn't have to be as hard. And I don't know if that's true, if it's getting worse and worse or better. Like, I genuinely don't know. I don't know. I just know I don't want to waste this one life that I have, feeling not good enough because of what I look like. No, no. And neither should you. I'm going to step off of my soapbox now. I feel like this is a topic we're going to pick back up. I'm definitely going to be honest with you when it comes to postpartum thoughts. And yeah, what happens with my body and what my body moves through, the marathon of being pregnant and the absolute massive physical, emotional exertion of giving birth and then nursing and not sleeping at night, all the stuff that comes with that. And I know it's going to come with body image challenges and issues and thoughts and judgments. And I promise I'll be really honest about that journey so we can kind of walk that path together a little bit. Thank you for being here. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Take care of your body. You only have one. Take care of your heart. Take care of yourself. And I'll be back next week, maybe with a birth story. Oh my God. I don't know. This is past Rachel speaking. Okay, remember. Okay, I'll see you soon.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If you enjoy the show, make sure you listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes of From the Heart with Rachel Braithen. This was a presentation of Cadence 13 Studio, and I'll see you next week.